This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're live on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we have for you the top Commanders headlines of the day in just a moment. Though we are live from Capital One Arena, where at 6:30 you'll hear from Wizards General Manager Will Dawkins before we send things upstairs to Dave Johnson and Glenn Consor for the Wizards season opener against the Celtics. Let's get to it, though. It's time for our pick six. It's six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Of course, one of the huge underlying storylines in this game is Caleb Williams, not just his relationship to the Commanders' defense this weekend, a.k.a. what do you do with him, but his relationship with Cliff Kingsbury. I've been on a couple of Chicago shows this week, and I've been asked about this every single time, and today Cliff was asked about what he's seen from the Bears' number one overall pick, who, of course, he coached at University of Southern California last year.
Yeah, tremendous person, competitor, freaky talent, watching the stuff you do in practice and in the games, his ability, his feel, really, really special. I mean, he's going to be one of the top guys in the league for a lot of years, and so that was cool to get to spend time with him last year.
And obviously, Cliff, part of the reason he was there is to help Caleb, not just in what they were trying to accomplish at SC, but in getting ready for the NFL. So what did they do last year to try to help Caleb be ready for this moment, in maybe not anticipating that Cliff would be back on the opposite sideline?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of a resource there as much as I could be. That was the good thing. Lincoln allowed me to be the good cop, and any knowledge, anything I could share, particularly with him, and we all knew where he was going, and it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he'd be the first pick for a long time. So really just a resource in any way that I could be helping him, trying to mentally prepare for the things that were ahead.
Obviously, you'll hear more from Joe Witt later in our pick six and how the Commanders' defense is preparing. But Cliff's main job is not to focus on Caleb Williams. It's to focus on his own quarterback room, where he's got, to manage some stuff this week. Jaden Daniels not practicing again on Thursday. So as we hit number two here in our pick six, how does the Commanders' offense change if it's Marcus Mariota and not Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I mean, DQ set up a great plan. I won't get into the details of it, but just to make sure that, both guys are getting enough reps and getting a comfort level with the plays we're going to have in that they can go operate. Marcus hadn't taken a snap with our offense in 68 days prior to the game and came in and performed really at a high level and made a bunch of plays. So that was good to see, and it takes a unique person and player to do that. And so we feel really good about trying to get him some reps this week, and we're just going to take it from there.
And I'm curious, that plan, obviously, you know, they are not going to give us the details. Maybe Dan will tomorrow. I mean, at that point, like, I don't want to say who cares, but there's less gamesmanship to be played depending on what the ruling is for Jaden. If they rule him out tomorrow, then it's like, we can tell you. But he's obviously not practicing. Like, he's listed as DNP. That is an NFL designation. If you take a snap in practice, you're a limited participant, and that's not what's happening. He is a DNP. But this is a team that uses a lot of walkthroughs. They have the VR stuff. So they're going to find ways to make sure Jaden is ready just in case he is physically ready to go on Sunday. If he's not, schematically, if anything, not that Cliff Kingsbury is going to give us a lot here, but what changes if Marcus is the starting quarterback? And how surprised was he to see how well Marcus ran the offense on Sunday?
Just like I said, he's going to have some concepts that he maybe likes better or that Jaden wouldn't like, you know, and at the end of the week, we always talk through that with whoever's going to be playing. And the backup, we get his sheet as well and be like, hey, which plays do you really like? And they're always different. And so we'll just make sure we tailor it to concepts that he's big on and feels comfortable with and has gotten enough reps that he knows he can go out there and operate at a high level.
And as for Sunday and the performance against the Panthers, how did Marcus Mariota, that performance, how did Cliff Kingsbury feel about that?
No, just because I've seen the professionalism, I've seen the work he puts in, but, you know, all those reps he was getting was just the scout team. You know, he's working the scout team, but you see the preparation. I saw how he operated in the spring, and it was basically like, hey, go do what you do. We weren't trying to hold him back or say, hey, play it safe. It was like, we're going to cut you loose, play fast, and go get after him. And that's what he does best, and I think he just embraced the moment. And he's only 30, he's still a tremendous talent, and yeah, I think his best football is still ahead of him. I've told him that.
And if you're Marcus Mariota, like, that's music to your ear. Someone who believes in you like that. We'll see what Marcus can do on Sunday. It's our pick 6 at 6. One more from Cliff Kingsbury before we flip the field and get what we need to know and get you what you need to know from Joe Witt Jr.'s side of things. But this clip went a little viral today. This was fun. Ben Sinnott, the rookie from Kansas State, he, of course, is getting a little bit more involved in the offense. He's been blocking his face off for weeks on end here. And they finally got him a catch. And Cliff, what was that play called?
Yeah, definitely. His first catch was a touchdown, and the play was called Taylor Swift. So you can't really beat that to start your NFL scoring career. So he was stoked about it. But he's been getting better and better. I think the game's slowing down for him. He's a tremendous talent. Can do a bunch of different things with his run game, pass game, very physical. You know, was well coached at Kansas State, so understands the run game scheme at a high level for being a guy who can be involved as much as he is in the pass game. So we're excited about his future.
I'm really excited to see what they do with Ben Sinnott, because I think on top of the blocking, like, he showed, obviously, hey, you can catch the football, but, like, he's a guy that can run after catch a little bit, and Zach Ertz, for as great as he's been in terms of getting open, like, he hasn't done a whole lot after the catch. So what happens when you get a guy who's a little more dynamic? And I'm not talking necessarily this year for Ben Sinnott. Like, this is a long-term project, and he and Jaden can grow up together. And, you know, again, I'm not just saying this because they talked about the play call called Taylor Swift, or just because he's a white tight end, and that seems to be how it goes in the NFL sometimes. But, like, the Mahomes and Kelce growing up together thing has been really great for both of them. And when you have that knowledge of how a guy runs routes, exactly where he's going to be when you scramble, like, that is huge. And Jaden is going to grow up with Luke McCaffrey and Ben Sinnott and, you know, some of these other younger guys on this roster. And it's going to be really fun to watch their chemistry over the course of years. And, you know, there's guys that will come in next year that aren't here yet that'll be a part of that as well. Coming into the year, frankly, we thought it would be Jahan Dotson. And then that didn't go so well. And now he's not here anymore. But for Sinnott, in that role, learning from Ertz, more opportunities certainly to come. I'm excited to see how he grows in this offense. When we get back, Joe Witt Jr.'s side of the football. How has Dante Fowler's play elevated this defense, and what else is he looking for as the Commanders prepare to take on the Bears this weekend? But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports, presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It is the Hoffman Show. We're live on the Team 980 from Capital One Arena. We're 30 minutes from now. You'll hear the golden pipes of Dave Johnson, along with Glenn Consor, who has his own golden pipes. Those two back for yet another season of Wizards basketball, and it tips off tonight here at Cap One. Every game on the Team 980. Will Dawkins, about 15 minutes away, here on the show. Of course, the Wizards general manager. Right now, though, we continue with our pick six at six, giving you the top Commanders headlines of the day on the day where the coordinators speak. So you get a little Cliff Kingsbury at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. Now we get you Joe Witt batting in the two hole this week. Number four on our pick six at six, Joe Witt talking about one of the guys who's played tremendous football the last couple of weeks, and a guy that he is very familiar with as he is was in Dallas and has been with Dan Quinn a couple of other spots as well. Here's Joe Witt on Dante Fowler.
You know, I probably haven't highlighted him enough coming in here. He's a very physical player. Dante's always going to play on the edge. He's going to give you everything he has. But he has real juice to be able to get to the quarterback, move the quarterback. He's a guy that I don't necessarily have to pressure with when he's on the field. I know he's on the field. We could be more of him in a four-man. I don't have to bring five elements with him on the field because he has the ability to beat the tackle. So I've been pleased with Dante, the physicality and the way that he plays. He's a lot like Usain in that way that he's always going to run through people. And if I tell him to run through that wall, he's going to hit it hard. So.
That's what coaches want. Like, do what I tell you as hard as you possibly can. And Dante Fowler is the kind of guy that does that. I think there's a couple of other things to watch on the edge this week when it comes to the Commanders. First, Dorrance Armstrong looks like he's going to be back. I don't even remember seeing him on the injury report. So if Dorrance Armstrong is back, that is huge for this team because Dorrance was playing really, really good football before he got hurt. Including the game he got hurt. He had a couple pressures, I think, in the first quarter and got hurt in the second, if I'm remembering correctly, a couple weeks back. And the Baltimore game changed after he went out. Like, he is their best defensive end, snap in, snap out. And he was starting to get a lot of pressure. So if they can get him back along with Fowler, that's great. That's two very good options on the edge. Especially if Cleveland Furl is out, which he might be, as he was a DMP today in practice. The other thing to watch, though, is Jordan McGee being back could potentially open up more lanes for Frankie Louvu to be out on the edge. And while, as Joe Witt said, he would like to not have to bring extra blitzers and things with Fowler on the field, putting Fowler at one edge and Louvu at the other, which they have done at times this year, gives them more options to actually do that while bringing blitzes. Technically not blitzes, but simulated pressures. You may have heard that term where you bring four players, but not the four you'd expect. And because Fowler's a little more adept at dropping out, and Louvu is obviously more adept as a guy who plays off-ball linebacker at dropping out in his own coverages or even picking someone up man-to-man because they're so athletic, that allows a potential confusion and some free runners along the offensive line. You get the slide going one way, we bring pressure from the other, and you can get some business done. So I'm very excited to see what they continue to do as they adapt that position as Joe Witt continues to find things that he thinks that his guys can do well, and we will continue to monitor that moving forward. Of course, the big thing Joe wants is takeaways. And number five in our pick six at six is talking about just that. They got some last week. They got the pick six from Dante Fowler. They got the other interception. They've gotten a couple more general the last couple of weeks. What led to the breakthrough in generating turnovers per Joe Witt Jr., who every single week at the podium has been begging for that to happen?
They caught the ball. I mean, Tay's play, to be honest with you, Tay had an interception in the same part of the field in practice. He didn't go score with it. And so we put it up there, hey, you're going to have opportunity on this call to go score. And it happened in the same area, and he scored with it. Forbes, man, it was just a really nice job of how he read that out. He read two going away with the coverage that we were in, was able to slide inside, and it sort of messed the receiver up because he read it so quickly. I think the receiver at the time just you know, stopped on the route and Forrest went and got the play. So it was Jason Simmons and Tommy Donatello's just done a nice job of communicating how to pass routes and how to communicate it, and the players brought it to life.
I think that's really cool insight on Forbes, and it's kind of funny to hear the way Joe says it. He's like, the receiver kind of died on the route, and you know, we blame receivers for that stuff because quarterbacks throw with anticipation. And I'm not saying receivers are ever right to just die on routes, but sometimes you die because you're dead. And he should have been dead on that route, and he wasn't. And Andy Dalton threw it, and Forbes is right there. And hopefully that's a sign of things to come for Emmanuel Forbes. What has Joe Witt Jr. seen from the second-year corner since he's come back from injury? He did have the DMP 1 week. What do we expect from Emmanuel Forbes moving forward based off what we've seen over the last couple?
Well, I think they've sort of changed what they've done, you know, offensively from the first two games to now. And so, you know, they're not necessarily running the same concepts that they ran.
Do we have the Forbes improvement before we move on to the Bears offense and what he's seen from Caleb Williams?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
And ready, aim, fire. Ready, fire, aim.
Don't got it.
Okay. Then maybe we'll play that bite tomorrow. You just have to tune in tomorrow. Anthony, you look very confused.
Yeah, because unless I say one of these wrong, I think that's possibly what
we got an old mislabel situation. You just hate to see it. Yeah. All right. Well, in that case, then let us move on to number six in our pick six at six, and let that be Joe Witt Jr.'s thoughts. The bite that Anthony had started playing, which would now make more sense because I will set it up correctly. The Bears' offense has kind of evolved the last couple of weeks since. You know, first 2 weeks, a lot of struggle for Caleb Williams, throwing pretty high rate of incompletions, some turnovers, all kind of bad stuff. Last couple of weeks, he's diced some defenses. Some bad ones, but he's diced them. So, what has he seen out of the rookie quarterback? Here's Joe Witt.
Well, I think they've sort of changed what they've done, you know, offensively from the first two games to now. And so, you know, they're not necessarily running the same concepts that they ran early on that he had some issues with. So that's where he's improved at.
Yeah, I mean, hey, good offensive coordinating. Here's the things my quarterback is bad at. Stop doing them. Here's the things they're good at. Let's do those. And that's kind of what they've done. They found ways to run the football, deleverage him a little bit, gotten in some different things. So it's been definitely interesting to watch Shane Waldron figure it out. As for the challenges that the Bears' offense presents, here's Joe Witt Jr. on all that.
Well, you know, every game you're going to have eligibles that are premium players, and they have a number of them. You know, I think Moore is just a really good player that really hasn't got the credit over the years. He's a good catch and run guy. I've had just so many battles with 13. He's just over the years when he was at the Chargers, man, 2015, he came to Green Bay and gave us a day. And so just a lot of respect for those eligibles. And so we have to just do a good job because the running back's running well. The screens, they run the screens as good as anybody in football, especially with Swift and Moore. So, you know, we have to make sure that we do a great job of leveraging the screens played by 11 men. You know, we have to set the edges inside out. If they get their bigs out to block our littles, our bigs got to come tackle their littles, you know. And so we have to set the edge and be ready to go from that standpoint there.
They're a great screen team. And 13, by the way, Keenan Allen. That is a good football player, and he's the exact kind of route runner that makes me nervous. And you know, there's a lot of stuff that I think Washington can do really well against the Chicago team. There's a lot of matchups from like that goes in Washington's favor. The thing that scares the daylights out of me, if I am Joe Witt and I am Dan Quinn, is they got better dudes on the outside than the dudes we got. The good news is Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. know that. They're aware of their talent deficiencies. However, it is hard to make up for it when you've got, you know, not only DJ Moore and not only Keenan Allen, but Rome Odunze and Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift is a nightmare in space. So there is a ton to consider for Joe Witt, a lot on his plate. All right, when we get back, though, we are back to the Wizards as we're live here at Capital One Arena. That's our pick six at six. We give it to you each day at 6 o'clock, talking Commanders here on the Team 980. But we are your home for Wizards basketball, and I went one-on-one with their general manager, Will Dawkins. You'll hear it next on The Hoffman Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, we're live at Capital One Arena ahead of the Wizards and Celtics tonight. It's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. And we've been playing for you all our Wizards interviews all week long. If you missed any of them, they're still really great to listen to. They don't expire after today, even though the season starts. They're all in our podcast feed. Just search The Hoffman Show. But the last one we're going to play for you is with Wizards General Manager Will Dawkins. And I started off on Media Day asking Will about what he learned in year one as general manager here in D.C. And you know, in the mold of you don't know what you don't know, what do you know now?
I would say how important having the right people around you really is, and the idea of developing those people even more. Like before, I was a little bit more focused on developing scouts, developing evaluators, developing the coaches, but we have to develop the whole organization. And I don't think I took it for granted, but I didn't understand the heavy lift that it was. And to be honest, now I have a better feel for my time and where I can allot my time. And last year was leveling up and just getting everything off the ground. And now I can really invest in the people in the different departments and grow our team organically.
So you like this question's coming from some comments that you made recently, including your press conference the other day. There seems to be.
Did you go to the press conference, by the way?
No, I was unable to go for reasons that I can tell you after the interview. I did, however, spend a 34 minutes of my Sunday morning yesterday watching it, so I did do my research.
I was just saying after you skipped out on the basketball, I was starting to find a trend there.
No. There was a legitimate reason I wasn't there, which I will tell you later. However, Will Dawkins. There seems to be something about this job in particular, and I wanted to see if there's like a scab to pick at there. Is there something about this job, by the way, not saying that in a bad way, whether it's the city, whether it's the fan base, something that's unique to the Washington Wizards that maybe generically you expected XYZ about being an NBA GM, but then being the general manager of the Washington Wizards, you're like, oh, that is something that is unique to DC.
Oh, yeah. It starts with the fans. I think the connectedness and the honesty that they give me when I meet them on the streets is pretty impressive. What was unique about this opportunity? Start with Mr. Leonsis and just his direction, his willingness to let Michael and I come in, have a chance to assess everything and do what we want moving forward with it. Having that ability to have a rebuild in a massive, impactful city like DC, pretty much start from scratch, that's very rare for a team that has a rich history in the past and has been in the city for so long. And then knowing how knowledgeable those fans are and how patient those fans have been, to ask them to be patient a little bit longer, that's something I really had to learn. Yeah. I hadn't felt that. Like, they've been feeling that. So it's a little different.
Yeah. No 50-win season since 79 is something that tends to get reminded about. Yeah. And it's like, And honestly, like, I think that's part of the reason some of your predecessors are no longer here, is because they didn't fully appreciate and understand that. It's like, oh, you can't ask people that have been being patient to be patient. So what are, I mean, you said on the street, you literally just have people come like, hey, you're Will Dawkins, right? I got some notes for you.
Thanks for coming on podcasts like this one. But mostly like airports and when I'm in the arena or walking out of this area. But again, we're trying to win 50 wins multiple times,
right?
Not just one time. And they understand that. So again, we're trying to find the path to charter towards sustained success. And for us, we're not going to rush that. And I ask them to continue to be patient with me, and I appreciate that they are.
Yeah. You mentioned the other day in that press conference that you guys are in the deconstruction phase.
Yeah.
You also mentioned there's some luck involved in the rebuild, which I think obviously the lottery is what it is. We have to do our part. Mm-hmm. Asset management becomes a big thing. So one question you were not asked about is the decision around Tyus Jones.
Okay.
Going back to the trade deadline and then ultimately how he just ultimately, you know, leaves for nothing in NBA offseason terminology. Right. But so I would love for you to explain the decision making around Tyus at the deadline, where I think the plan was to either re-sign him or explore sign and trade and then ultimately how it plays out.
Fair question. I would say in terms of the phase of the team, the deconstruction phase, that's something where we got here and we knew this wasn't the building that we wanted to have. But there's still some good bones to that building, so let's find out what's there. And when we made the trade and acquired Tyus, it was like, let's fully understand him, have a full gauge. When we got through the trade deadline, he's someone that we wanted to keep around the team just for his value on the court, but also in the locker room. And part of deconstructing and laying that next foundation is having good role models in the organization, both on the court,
sure,
but more so in the locker room. So Tyus served that. Again, as you guys know, in free agency, it takes two to tango. You got to do what's right for you. We had conversations. I think you saw what we did draft night and bringing in Malcolm Brogdon and bringing in two other ball handlers made it difficult, made it a little different. But again, I think he had to make the best decision for him. We value Tyus and very happy that he stayed with us. And then he embraced it the way they did. And I think he'll do well in Phoenix.
It is one of those things that I do laugh at sometimes. It's like, oh, he left for nothing. It's like, well, they got an extra couple months of basketball, which he was getting paid for. And all of the things that that came with that.
Cultural deposits he made. Like, he really did.
Do you have a story that really illustrates that for folks?
Say it again.
A story about Tyus and the cultural deposits?
Yeah, I would say right after the coaching change, we brought in a few guys and explained our why to that small group before we got in front of the team. And I said, any of you want to speak up and kind of explain like where have you been, but also you know where we want to go. And he gave an impassioned speech to the group. And at that point, you knew he's someone we wanted to be around for the rest of the season. So just continue to lead through that. So those are things sometimes fans don't see. We don't really pump out there, but Tyus is a leader, and he's going to do well for Phoenix.
I felt like I'm on Hot Ones now. Have you ever watched that? And they have the Explain the YouTube show, Hot Ones, with the Hot Ones.
Yeah.
And they have like the Explain That Graham segment. Now I'm just like, explain that thing you said at the press conference.
Here we go.
You talked about building things on the fly. Which obviously generically, I think most people understand what that means, but can you give an example of something that you figured out on the fly?
Man, there were so many. Building on the fly is like, hey, here's a problem. How do you assess it? I don't even know who to go to when you first walk in. Like, who is our head of medical when we have a medical issue? Who is our team doctor for these things? Why does this not function the way that I think it should make sense? So there were so many of those that you're just like, hey, let's learn the building on the fly. Let's learn our medical team on the fly. Let's learn our coaching staff. We're making a in-season change. What all goes into that? How do you message that to the players and media? So again, baptism by fire, I think they like to say.
Yeah, it's another way to put it.
It was a very interesting first year, but I think we grew as an organization because of it.
What's your process figuring out what needs to be done now and what can wait? Because there's a million things that you encounter. You're like, this is not working the way I want to, but not all of them have the same sense of urgency. And there's obviously trickle-down effects. You make one decision that affects something else.
Sure.
And so you have to understand the scope of it before I'm explaining this to the audience, not you. You obviously understand this. But how do you determine kind of the hierarchy of needs when you encounter so many things that you want to change?
Yeah, the collaboration with Mike Winger and myself, like he sets a foundation for what he wants and how he wants it to look. And then it's on all of us to try to carry that out. We're going to stay true to our core principles and we're going to prioritize those. And when you don't see those clicking on all cylinders, you got to figure out how do we adjust that? How do we make the environment more repeatable? How do we add cultural deposits, whether that's people, whether that's resources, to make sure that we're addressing the culture and the environment that's stable enough first to build on? So that's probably why we did that.
mentioned the coaching change, obviously, last year. You guys liked Wes going into the season. He's someone that I think Michael had interviewed out in L.A., so, there's some familiarity there, but ultimately you get into the season, and obviously it wasn't working because you guys made the change. How different is your approach this year going into the season through the lens of the coaching staff with Brian as someone that you picked and that you're familiar with and know versus someone where last year you had hope, but it was a let's see?
I think our approach with our head coach is going to be consistent. Wes did a tremendous job in terms of the things we were asking to do off the court and in the locker room and those deposits that he was making. So, again, we're going to focus on that. Our relationship with Brian, it was helpful that we knew him before, but we also got to see him at the end of the season coach. But the main things are going to be the main things, and the connectivity with the players, holding them accountable, playing with a competitiveness, playing with a joy, with a passion, playing together. Those core principles are going to be the things that guide us. And Brian's great. He hired a really impressive staff. He didn't just hire his friends. He went out and found people that were opposite of him, thought differently, would challenge him. A lot of them had similar backgrounds in terms of player development. And from the few months that they've been here, they've really been able to relate to players. So I'm encouraged with the coaching staff. I had a long meeting with them the other day just to talk about expectations and standards so we're all on the same page, and they get it.
How do you support him in his first year in that role? And especially if, you know, it's not bringing your friends is ultimately a good thing, right? But that does mean you have to then build cohesion within your staff.
Correct.
So how do you support him in that way?
They took a retreat. I told them, get out of here. Like, go away. You guys really need to bond. We'll do a good job of that throughout on the road as well. But I think how I support him is just showing up, being there for him. He's someone that likes feedback. He actually likes it in real time as well. So he'll come sit down, breathe for a little bit, grab a bite to eat post-game, most cities that we're in, and be like, hey, what'd you see out there? How could I have handled this differently? And I'll ask him different questions. So it's really open, back and forth. And I think that's productive for us.
All right, last but not least, let's actually talk about the players that
let's
are going to be on the floor.
Let's do it.
Alex Sarr, number two overall pick. People have seen some highlights, et cetera. But, you know, asking someone for a scouting report is a little different when it's the GM that drafted him. Give us, if you would, the Alex Sarr scouting report now, and then what you hope he grows into.
Oof. The second part of that is why I get so excited when I talk about Alex Sarr. I think when you see him on the basketball court this year, you're going to see someone who physically isn't what he's going to be 5-6 years from down the line. Offensively, he's going to be able to help our team right away. Just in terms of ball movement, player movement, he can bring the ball up, he can see, he can really pass, and he can score the basketball. I think he'll continue to improve as a scorer, continue to improve his shot as he gets more comfortable. But defensively, he's going to have an impact right away. He'll protect the rim. He'll be able to switch, force tough twos, force guys into situations. And we have to be a better defensive team. And we're putting a lot on him and Bilal to be young defenders for our team. Surprisingly, he's very vocal for a young defender. You'll see him out here talking, orchestrating, making sure guys are in the same spot. But he runs. He gets up and down, gets into picks, gets out of screens. He's rolling for lobs, but also catching it, making the right pass. So he's someone that is very fluid in his game and is only going to get better as we continue to give him more and more. But there will be those wild moments both ways. There's going to be some growing pains. But I think by the end of the season, there's going to be a lot that our fans can get excited about. And moving forward, it's only going to get better.
Last guy I'll ask you about, because I know you got to get running here in a second, is Jordan. Obviously, we've talked about his season last year and that it just didn't go the way he wanted to early, but how he stuck with it, how he worked. What realistically is the expectation for him this year, knowing the headspace he's in, knowing that he probably has a better understanding of his role, all those kinds of things that seem to be better this year, hopefully are better this year than they were last?
Yeah, I think you said it well when you said the first season and the second half of the season were completely different.
Yeah.
You just saw him more comfortable. I think you saw him with the ball a little bit more. It wasn't just always making plays, but just touching it, making the ball move so he's getting a feel for it. Jordan's a big part of our team. He's come back early. He's been in the gym. He's mentoring Keyshawn, mentoring Bub, has these guys around him. He's got a really good energy to him right now. Hopefully you guys can talk to him and see that as well.
Yeah, we got him today, so I'm excited to talk to him.
I think Jordan's going to come out and be Jordan Poole. That's what I expect.
Well, Dawkins, everybody, season starts here in just a couple of weeks. Happy end of jump season.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
All right, that is Will Dawkins, the general manager of the Washington Wizards. And, Anthony, it is about that time. It is time for the Wizards' season to begin in 20 minutes or so. Look out at the clock out of Capital One Arena. Lots of Wizards fans here. I will say there's a lot of green here too, but who's counting? Anthony, how do we think the Wizards are going to do this season?
Over, under? I think, if I had to guess, I think we win 27 games.
27? I think that's ambitious.
It's just a reality. I don't love that, but that's ambitious. Tonight, by the way, starting lineups just in. Jordan Poole, Bub Carrington gets the start.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, because Brogdon's out, right?
Yeah. Well, I wonder if Bub would have started anyway. But Bub, Jordan, Bilal, Kyle, Sarr.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting indeed. Brogdon out, Bay out. Obviously, Tristan Vukcevic is a two-way player. He's not active tonight. Kristaps Porzingis inactive for the Celtics as well. So they're starting lineup for them. Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford. Yeah, I mean, look, I here's what I will say about this Wizards season. Here's my 30-second Wizards take before we get off the air. Last season was supposed to be fun, but not very good, and instead it was fairly miserable because they were non-competitive for a large portion of the year. By the time they finally got competitive after they made the coaching change, it didn't matter because they had been uncompetitive for so long. But this year should be fun because they should be competitive. Jordan is going to have the ball in his hands, which is worth the price of admission on most nights. Not because it's always great, because it's worth seeing what happens. Kyle Kuzma, same thing. And then defensively, they're just going to be able to be in a lot more games because Alex Sarr and Koulibaly are legitimate NBA defenders. And so we'll see what Bub is. If he's good, like, who knows what happens. Keyshawn George, I think, is going to play a role. There's an excitement to this team that I think is legit and real and will be much more indicative of what the future holds for the Washington Wizards. It all starts now, and you'll hear it here on the Team 980. Dave Johnson, Glenn Consor on the call. We send things upstairs next, and see you tomorrow on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.